Thanks, Nathan. Before we get into God's word, should we close our eyes and pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning, O Lord. Thank you for this day where you called us to come and worship you, to glorify your name as one family. Father, as we come and listen to your word, Father, we pray the Lord will minister to us through your word. Through your Holy Spirit, you will speak into our hearts, build us in faith to trust in you more deeper, continue to grow in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're looking at a series of parables on the kingdom parables. So last week, Lenny preached on the parable of the hidden treasure and the pearl. And today we'll be looking at the parable from Matthew chapter 18, verse 10 to 14, which is about the parable of the lost sheep or the wandering sheep. I want to start with a story. I don't know how many of you watched the movie The Hacksaw Bridge, which came in 2016, directed by Mel Gibson. There is this lead character in that movie called Desmond Doss, a U.S. Army medic. He refused to carry a weapon. He wants to be in the army, but he doesn't want to lift a rifle. I don't know how that is possible. And he went through so much of insults and persecution among his brothers in the army, but he said, no, I'm not going to do it. And finally, during the Battle of Okinawa in World War II in Japan, his unit retreats from a brutal assault. People were dying. But Doss stays behind under enemy fire. Over 24 hours, he single-handedly locates 75 wounded soldiers. He lowers them down from a cliff with a rope and prays, Lord, help me to get one more. So his action embodied the creed that love, so leave no one behind. You know, when you look at the tradition of the armed forces, you know, their commitment is to leave none of them behind. And where that whole idea in the military comes from, if it's not from the scriptures? First, the Lord himself, and then the Lord's church seek its lost, recover them, and to restore them. And today we're going to look at how the Lord restores the lost, the one who wanders away, the one who strays, and how God cares for those people who are lost. See, Jesus' interest in the lost closely follows the previous passage here, what we read, verse 10 to 14. That Jesus declared his love for little ones in the faith. See, Jesus says the kingdom belongs to those who humble themselves as children. Disciples, in turn, should welcome little ones, always treat them with respect, and do nothing to make them stumble. He even appoints his angel to watch over them, those little ones. In this, they resemble the Heavenly Father. Like a father, he pursues his lost children when they stray, when they go away, when they are lost. Here in Matthew chapter 18, when you look at the whole chapter, the Lord who seeks the lost, he is the shepherd seeking the lost sheep which wandered away. So Jesus asks us to contemplate the figure with him. If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off? Indeed, he will look for it. When he finds it, he will be happier about that one recovered sheep. that about the 99 that did not wander off, because there were 99, he knows they listened to him. See, the parable here explains the heart of God. A God is the shepherd who cares for his sheep. Your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should be lost. It's not just about the shepherd going after the sheep. It's about the Father, your God, our God, who loves us. He goes after the one who are lost. See, all through the Bible, we see this theme of God being the shepherd. It is not just something which a parable used here, but also the Bible, we see that God is the shepherd. He's the good shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. Many of you know Psalm 23:1, the Lord is our shepherd, you shall lack nothing. In Isaiah 40:11, he says, when the sovereign Lord restores Israel, he tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. In Micah, the minor prophet, chapter 5, verse 2-4, it says, when David and the generations of Israel failed, the Lord promised to send a ruler who would shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord. When the people who are appointed by the Lord, when they fail, God said, no, I will myself will be the shepherd for my people. In the New Testament, we see Jesus is the shepherd. In John chapter 10, we see Jesus is the good shepherd who comes after the lost, who gave his life for us on the cross. In the book of Hebrews, he calls him the good shepherd of the sheep. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1-5, when we read it, Peter calls him the chief shepherd to whom the elders who shepherd God's flock give account to. So he is the chief shepherd. So it's not a new thing that Jesus is talking here. It's all through the Bible. But you wonder, what is the difference between in Luke chapter 15, when Luke talks about the parable of the lost sheep there, and here in Matthew, where in chapter 18, the parable of the lost sheep. Because, see, Jesus preaching, see, we read the scripture, we understand, but we are not there with him. We know this word through the apostles who have written this to us, and through the apostles we read and we understand. And Jesus is the itinerant preacher. He's been preaching in many places. Certain images and teachings show up in different contexts that give them a slightly different meaning between one gospel and the next. There are many places in Matthew we see the blind leading the blind. In Matthew 15, it's different from what is in Luke chapter 16. And the disciples and his master in Matthew 10 is little different to the one in Luke chapter 6:40 and John chapter 15. So in this, we see the parable of a shepherd seeking lost sheep appears in both Matthew 18 and also Luke chapter 15, but in slightly different context. In Luke, Jesus tells the story to answer a criticism from the Pharisees. The Pharisees are asking, why are you always eating with the tax collectors and sinners? They were grumbling that he welcomes sinners and eats with them. And Jesus replies that by eating with them, he says that he does what good shepherds do. He seeks lost sheep. And when he succeeds in his search and brings them back, the angels in heaven rejoice that the sinner has repented. And it talks about the heart of the Father, but also here he addresses to the people who are criticizing him for eating with the sinners. But when we come to Matthew, we see that it's a little different. The context here is a bit different. Here we see God's love for little ones in the faith. Jesus explains that he seeks little ones who wander off. They are lost within God's house. They are lost temporarily and partially. This is not a minor matter. It is a different matter from the lostness of what we see in Luke chapter 15. But here he's talking about the little ones who are lost. So, I don't know how many of you lost your wallets in the past. If you have lost your wallet in a stadium, there's no chance you're going to get the wallet back again. Either somebody picked it, or picked it from you, or picked it from where you have left it. But it's completely different to losing your wallet in your house. You know it's there. It's lost, but it's going to come to you sometime. I don't know when it is, but you will find it eventually. So Jesus is talking about someone lost, not like the one you lost in the stadium. Here in Matthew 18, you're somewhat lost within the house of the Lord, partially. See, how does it appear to you? Suppose a shepherd is in the hills, far from shelter. He has 100 sheep, but now he counts yields only 99 and one is missing. One has wandered off. Would he say, I still have 99, that's fine? If he's going to have that sort of mentality, very soon, within 3 months, he's going to have only 70 sheep there. But what he does is, he leaves the 99 on the hill. And he goes and looks out for the wandered one. He will search continually until he finds the one sheep who strayed. When he does, the shepherd rejoices moreover. That one sheep that about 99 that did not wander off. It is not that God does not rejoice of the 99, but God knows his 99 is safe. But this one wandered off. See, we should seek the lost because our Father in heaven is not willing that any of this little one should be lost. None should perish. We should rescue our brothers and sisters who sins. A hard but necessary service. God's will is that every little one who belongs to him by faith should persevere with him. His love never changes. See, when you look at the passage, verse 1 to 10, the challenge with them is the disciples comes to Jesus and says, who is the greatest in the kingdom of God? It's been a couple of years with Jesus, their disciples. We thought like, oh, you're a disciple. You know the Lord well and the teaching. You've been listening from the rabbi, the teacher. You know everything well. No, they are struggling as well, just like us. Who is the greatest? And Jesus brings a little child and says, whoever is like this child, humbles themselves, will be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. God's culture that he brings to this world is completely counterculture of what the world proposes. It's completely the opposite. You want to be great? Humble yourself. Serve the Lord. That's what the Lord says. Like this little child, because in that generation, in that ancient Near East, at that point of time, children not considered to be very important. Because they depend on the parents. So God says, like a child, you depend on the parents' wisdom and love. You love for the Lord, your wisdom that depends on the Lord. Like that child, when you humble yourself, then you are the greatest in the kingdom of God. And from the little child, it slowly moves to the little ones. In the Greek, the word changes. I'm not getting into the details of the Greek words here. But from the little child, he moves to little ones. Like the little ones who believes in Jesus. And he warns them, if anyone destroys those people or mislead them or misguide them, woe to them. God warns them there's going to be a great punishment. So he's talking about this little child. Be like this little child. Humble yourself. And it comes to these little ones in the kingdom of God. Don't try to destroy their life. Don't try to mislead them, because there's going to be a great judgment upon you. And then comes this parable where Jesus talks about, see that you do not look down on one of these little ones. Don't look down on these little ones. For I tell you that the angels in heaven always sees the face of my Father in heaven. So those who are lowly, those who are meek, those who are vulnerable, those who are new in faith, those who are immature, new believers growing in the Lord, at times they are lost. God says, I care for them. I go after them. And I love them. When they repent and turn around, I rejoice over them. And it proposes four key truths about how God cares for his people. So the first one is, God cares for us individually. He cares for every single individual in the family of God. It's not that once you are saved, like, okay, come into the Lord, I don't care about you anymore. God cares for you, every single one. You know, you read that again and again in the New Testament. You know, once a crowd of people pressed against Jesus from every side, and he asked, who touched me? The disciples were like, what's wrong with you, Jesus? People were pressing from all the sides. You're a very famous person, and you're in the middle of the crowd. And Jesus knows somebody touched him, and the power went out from him. In Mark Gospel chapter 5, 31 says, who touched me? But Jesus insisted. Then this woman who has been sick for 12 years came and confessed. And Jesus said, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. God cares for every individual. Same with the life of Zacchaeus. The short man who was a tax collector, not liked by any of the people there in the Jewish community. He heard that Jesus is coming. That said, he wants to see Jesus. All he wants to do is take a glance at him. And he knows which path he's going to come. He was already there waiting. He climbed the sycamore tree. I think it's a sycamore tree or whatever the tree is. And he wanted to have a glimpse at him. But you know what Jesus did? He came, stood under the tree and said, Zacchaeus, I want to come and eat in your house. Isn't that beautiful? How he cares for his children. Every single individual in the house of the Lord. See, he redeems us one by one, and he cares for every single individual. The second one is, God seeks us when we stray, when we wander off. Moments before, as we read, in Jesus' teaching, we see the disciples were so confused. Who's going to be the greatest? Who's going to be in the closest circle? Who's going to be on your right and left? Jesus was not raged and says, get lost. He patiently taught them. Think about the 3.5 years of teaching with those 12 disciples and those people around him. Whenever he asks a question, who am I? Peter, first one to raise the hand, raise his hand and say, you are the Christ. But the next moment, he does something so dumb. He says, I will never forsake you. The next moment, you know what happened. But did Jesus just left them alone? He went after every single one. He cared for them. Because you've gone away, wandered off, doesn't mean that Jesus forgets about you. That's the beauty about God's grace. He initiates that grace. He comes after. The Lord who came after from Mount Sinai to his people is the same Lord with full of his glory comes out for us, searching for us when we wander off. He cares. Because in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, it says, he finishes the work that he begins in us. He will bring the good work that he started in us into completion in Christ Jesus. He's not going to let us stray and wander off and be alone. He doesn't want us to die under some tree in the wilderness, bleating and screaming and dying. He cares for you. He comes after you. The third one is Jesus rejoices over us when we return to him. See, when he finds you, he rejoices. See, when he looked at Jerusalem, he cried because what is going to happen to those people because of unfaithfulness, lack of faith. They could not see the Son of God who was in front of them. When he went to meet his friends, Lazarus was dead, he wept. God really cares for us. He loves us. So when we are found, he rejoices. When you have those doubts in your life, and when you come to faith, when you trust in him, move away from all the doubts and skepticism and come to faith and trust in the Lord, he rejoices. There's so much of joy. Luke chapter 15 says, the heaven rejoices. The Lord rejoices. And we rejoice as a family of God when the lost one is found. And the fourth one, that's the last one. The Lord exercises his care for his people through his people. How does God care for his people? God cares for his people through his people. See, we are responsible to seek the lost when God places them in our lives. God, it's your work. You care for them. No. The work that God is doing in our life is not the blessing to be kept in a selfish way to ourselves, but the blessing to be shared with others. The way God has been patient with others, God wants us to be patient with other people. How do God bring us into the full maturity in Christ? Now, Wally was beautifully saying, when we're singing that last song, you're praying. Be careful what you pray for. Because God is willing to give you that. If you ask for patience, he's not going to just, boop. He's going to be patient in your heart. He's going to give you a circumstance where you will learn patience by trusting in the Lord. The fruit of the Spirit is not an easy one. So be careful what you ask for, but don't stop asking God, because in that there is beauty. Because you're not going to do it by your own strength. Through the power of the Holy Spirit who lives in you, who fills you, will equip you to what you ask for. Amen? That's who our God is. And if you cannot see them, ask the Lord, open your eyes. and how to see the lost and feel the compassion that leads to action. I'll tell you, one of the stories that really touched me in 2006, I was with Youth with a Mission organization where they have the short-term missionary work and all that. It's a parachurch organization. Works with a lot of young people for missions and discipleship. During that time, I read a book on a guy called Shane Claiborne. Shane Claiborne is a prominent Christian activist and an author. He shares a powerful story in his book about, the book's name is Irresistible Revolution, Living as an Ordinary Radical. It's about how Mother Teresa inspired him to find his Calcutta. What I mean by Calcutta is a place which is in the eastern part of India. It's a very crowded place. I come from South India. Even I cannot go and live in that place. It's so crowded, a very different culture. See, during his time in college, Shane Claiborne felt a deep calling to live out his faith in a radical way. He and some friends traveled to Calcutta, to India, all the way from Philadelphia, to serve with Missionary of Charity, an organization that started by Mother Teresa in eastern part of India. While there, they worked among the poorest of the poor, caring for the sick, feeding the hungry, and comforting the dying. See, Mother Teresa, she comes from Eastern Europe, Czechoslovakia, all the way to East India to work among the poorest people. She worked among lepers, some of the people in the streets. And as Shane Claiborne was working in that, he came to do some internship with his friends. He wants to know, where is his Calcutta? Yes, God has given you a place for you to come and serve in Calcutta. How do I find my Calcutta? So he asked Mother Teresa, can you advise how to discern my calling in life? She responded with a simple yet profound challenge. Find your own Calcutta. Find your own Calcutta. She explained that not everyone is called to serve in the slums of Calcutta, but everyone is called to serve the poor and marginalized in their own context. The key was to look around and see where the suffering was in his own community and to love those people as Christ would. So this has changed Shane's life, because then he realized the place where he comes from, Philadelphia, there are so many people who are struggling. People are struggling with addiction. People are struggling with their own lives, in their faith, and many things in their life. And then he realized, this is where God is calling. My Calcutta is where I come from. You know, I don't know how many of you know about Leslie Newbegin. He's a missionary to India. He served there around 37 years. When he went back to England, he saw what's happening in the churches. Church in England thought, oh, mission is outside there in the poor countries. But what they forgot about is their own country has become a mission field because the culture has been deteriorating and people are leaving church. So you don't have to always cross the ocean. I'm not saying that you don't go for missions outside and serve. It's a great calling. Not everyone is called for it. It's very hard. I know some of our people who are not church who go and serve in the hardest part of the world. But there is also way to serve. The Father cares for his children by the work of Jesus. By the movement of the Spirit, by His providential control of history, and by appointing angels to watch over us. That's what we read in verse 10. But He also instructs believers, especially the matured, to seek our brothers, especially little ones in faith, when they stray. You know, Paul says, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. Let your words be kind, full of grace. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 says that. And in James chapter 5, 19-20 says, my brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. See, at times we wander off, we struggle because we are weak, we are broken people, we are struggling. So if I ask someone, hey, who got the short hair? See, for Taylor, compared to Taylor and me, mine is shorter. Compared to Stefan and me, Stefan's is shorter. Compared to Daniel to Stefan's, Daniel's is short hair. So which is short? So when we say we are new, we are broken, we are immature, we are new, how do we know? How do we how do we measure that? When we say we are mature, when we say someone, you got the longest hair, which one is the longest? How do you know? Lord knows it. And God wants for his family to care for one another as he cares for the lost. Because by doing that, you grow in the Lord. You mature in the Lord. And you will equip others to bless others in the family of God. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 10 says this. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. First, to the household of faith. I'm not saying don't go and reach out to the people and be a witness to the people in the world, but the scripture also says here in this, Matthew 8, in the context is to the people who are lost within the family of God. God cares for them, and he says, you have the responsibility to care for those people. In Matthew chapter 25, 40 says, when the Lord returns, when the king returns, he answers them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. They were asking, when God was segregating the goat and the sheep, he was asking, Lord, when did we give you water? When did we feed you? When did we give you a place to stay? Whoever did for one of this least have done it to me. So we need to understand that. God cares for his family, and God wants us to care for one another. In that way, we grow in the Lord, and the Lord will bless us. Amen? Let's close our eyes and pray. Heavenly Father, we give this time into your mighty hands, O Lord. Lord, you are the Lord who cares for us. You cares for us like a shepherd who cares for the lost, the one who wandered off, the one who struggles, the one who are little ones. Lord, we are all little ones in faith, O Father. In one way or other, we struggle. But we pray the Lord will help us to grow in you. Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus, the Lord will continue to strengthen us as a family of God, not to do life by ourselves, in isolation, but in community of God, in the family of God. By the power of the Holy Spirit, help us and lead us. Bless each and everyone who are in their hearts crying out to you. We pray the Lord will bless them and heal them. Thank you for your love for us. for your Son who have died for us on the cross. We thank you for your sacrifice, for your life for us, O Lord. We give it all into your mighty hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.